Okay, cosmology. So, chapter view are there in these four states or quarters, the Mandukya Upanishad. And we should mention here that it was something like this. Interestingly, you may remember from that Upanishad page so and so how the, you could say, very dynamics of creation is described in these four Chaturvyuha. And then we mentioned how the creation starts with an energy, Brahman, where there is this vibration, sound vibration, and of Om. Sometimes also said to be Krishna's flute, but a vibration. Now in the Upanishad, Mandukya Upanishad, that describes these Sushupti, Svapna, Jagrat, and beyond there, those states, the state of Turiya, the fourth, that of us, the real living person, the Jivatma. So, this cycle, as you may remember, it kind of embeds that dream concept of something being imagined out of a desire to imagine it, that's how we do it, and then realized, becoming a world in itself, you know, and then whew, disappearing. And how that cycle, this is really the, how could you say, the, as it seems, the objective of that Mandukya Upanishad, is to say that all this is included in the three letters of that sound, that vibration, that word, Om. And you can read a lot about Om. Some say it should be, you know, it starts down there in the lower, oh, it's an A, you know, A, down in the chest or down by the lower parts of the body like that. And then, and it's up in the throat and it's in the head. And then there's quiet. I don't know where I read this, but then in the quietude, the in-between space there, that's where this material manifestation thing takes a little break, and there is a little glance into, a little contact with the ultimate reality, the higher reality, like that, Brahman. And it's, I mean, this is so cool when you think about it, because then you could see this, and I'm not just out there, but anyway, Let's see what we can make out of it. And we can see those, that cycle, that vibration, you could say. Yes, it is. Energy coming in, created energy, and then disappear, and then stillness again in the Turiya, the, you know, Vasudeva is that consciousness of stillness and no desire and particular satisfaction, just pew. This world that we now think we are in is just down there somewhere, or it's disappeared. So, and that's what it says then, is what happens then at Sushupti. To that Turiya. And it is said there that in Sushupti, in this deep sleep, the soul, the Atma, the Self, is resting in the Super Soul, resting in the Paramatma, getting a little visit to Satyaloka there, and getting rejuvenated, getting energy, maybe getting a little wiser as well. But beyond what's going on in this mind, and this gross mind out here, and this even much grosser dreamy physical realm we find ourselves in. So therefore, that being, that part of ourselves, that you could say location, you know, where we are every night and day for some time. That's in itself a little path to self-realization. So, you know, it's quite amazing, and it's a creative cycle of this kind. So then if we just imagine here that this creative cycle, this cycle we find here, is in itself the vibration. You know, the vibration goes from energetic to peaceful, right? To resting. You have yang and then you have yin. And that's where it connects completely to the Chinese cosmology and understanding. And that I found that the Indian and the Chinese share very much their underlying cosmology. Maybe not politics, not economics, not this, not that, but as one Chinese professor said to me on a cultural and philosophical basis. So that's why we're also trying to bring about, this humble soul has been trying what he could. But if you want to help, then just get in touch with me, because there are some openings to bring about a friendship between, you know, intellectuals, wise people, spiritual people, gurus, and, you know, Tao masters or Buddhist masters. I mean, there is, and I've seen it with my own eyes, a very much alive spiritual tradition in China. And the Tao Te Ching, which the Taoism is supposed to be based on, sometimes called the Upanishads of China. They are so similar. So yeah, you know, that's where we try to get with this book also, a bit just down to that essence of knowledge that I remember when I was 21 or so. I started studying European mysticism, found old books from the Middle Age, alchemy, alchemistry, what do you call it? Alchemia, what is it? Went to the special natural science library next to the university, an old place there with ancient books from these old European mystics, alchemists. So I studied those and old traditions, you know, the Kabbalah, Judaism, and so on. And I thought, my goodness, this here beyond religions, because I didn't like religions, these big power systems with big people dressed up in ridiculous ways and demanding to command us all. But here, and then fighting with each other. No, I'm commanding you to go out in war with these other miscreants, because they are not children of God, they are children of whatever. So I couldn't stand that. And but when I looked deeper like that, behind and before these religions started becoming powerful, I found a wisdom, a knowledge. We call it mystical knowledge, mysticism, because we can't understand it. It just sounds mystical. But a knowledge about this world, another kind of natural science, which I guess natural philosophy then developed from. And that's what really got me into the spiritual path, and eventually made me accept the existence of God again. Which to me then had been you mix God up with these egocentric psychopath power beings that represent, or say they represent God on this planet. You know, sometimes there are these people, and well, some of them may be nice, but I had other experiences, and you know, from the history I was born in. So, but, and then you think God is like that. Of course, that's how we little kids on the spiritual path, so simple as we are. If daddy is bad, then all men are bad, or something like that. Oh yeah, so yeah, I mean, this cosmology, I mean, it's so easy now to drift into not a world of matter anymore, but this world that I was just in, the world of us here and inside. Soul, you and me. Conscious observer within. You can have all these fine words, but really, me, us, you. Feeling, thinking, willing. Cool person, actually. Can also be hot sometimes, but I mean, incredible persons that we are, all of us, isn't it? So, you know, and when we start to really know ourselves, know thyself, as, who was it said? Well, the Oracle of Delphi, right? On that entrance in Greece. So, yeah, it's pretty universal, all this. But this is where the cosmology goes. It doesn't just stop and end there with some information about the stuff. However subtle or strange it is, that this world that we are in is made of. Because as the quantum physicist said, we, conscious beings, are fundamentally part of this cosmos. And David Bohm was on that point there, in his implicit order. I mean, we have to start taking him seriously, because he was one of the absolutely major quantum physicists. So there he is saying, you know, that consciousness and the matter, you know, the physical world and the consciousness that is us, it's non-different, non-separate. They are, I mean, think about that. It's a pretty wild statement for a scientist on that level. But he was not alone. The other founders of quantum physics said basically the same. It's from different points of view, with different explanations or theories behind. So, wow. But here we have this Om, back to Om. That goes like, you know, power, creative power, and then you could say destruction or dissolution into, and then nothing there, and then again. In other words, an energetic dynamics there, right? That's what Om describes. Now, if you take that into this world, the physical world, what is, for instance, an electromagnetic vibration? What is light? It's an electromagnetic vibration. Now they say photons, these little almost particles that spiral into this world and shine it up a little, and then disappearing. Something between a wave and a particle. They got around that particle wave problem there. But you know, something in energy out. And you're Chinese and it's yang, and then yin, yang, yin. And you're in India, it's Om, basically, I could say. If you don't agree with me, you're welcome. But something like that seems to be described here in that Upanishad. And with this Chaturvyuha example, it's like the principle behind everything, down to the every little atom of a vibration of an energy. And it's an energy that doesn't even have to vibrate. Brahman can be still, and then there's no manifestation there. But then, I mean, this seems how it is from the viewpoint of quantum physics and modern physics, and these old knowledge traditions amazingly fitting so well together, and these modern quantum physicists being explicitly and definitely inspired by, and well, eventually rooted in the Vedantic tradition of India. So I guess it's worth studying that a bit closer. And if you want to get some advice how to do that, then just get in touch with me, with us here. and that's kind of what I'm trying to do on these and that channel. You can find them here, links down below. But this is from my cosmology book, actually, what I just spoke. Your inspiration, I hope, or whatever it is. And yeah, I know it gets esoteric, but for those who are kind of into these esoteric things, this is for you, because I'm a bit like that. But you can't go around just thinking about these things. They're just, you know, then you're just speculating or grumbling mind going, oh, I wonder. I'm a little too much like that, but later years I just live life in devotion to God, and then that's a smart solution, I would say, which we can talk about in another program. Gosh, but this was supposed to be a chapter or a little piece in the book, so file it also under TH or whatever.